ups and downs of my life. I've suffered from depression from the time I was a little girl. But you know what? God has been good, and he has given me an amazing life. And recently, I've been going through another time of growth, which for me usually comes when things aren't going so well. And I knew a long time ago that I really needed to sell my house and move. I haven't wanted to do that. And this fall, I got ahead of myself, and I was like, okay, I just want to be rid of this place. I'm tired of taking care of it. I hate it, but I don't. And it took me leaving this valley and coming back to realize that. But as I drove in on a late Sunday night with my lights on bright, I saw my home in a new light. And that light was the same light that I saw the day I drove into the driveway the first time and fell in love with my home. Unfortunately, my home has become more than a home. It has been something that that has become too important, and it's too much for me to take care of, and so I'm going to be moving. And as part of that, I thought, well, I'll just move within the valley. And so I got ahead of myself, and God slowed me down. And I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know what I'm going to do. But what I've learned in the last few weeks, again, as I always learn in the hardest of times, first of all, the most number one command in Scripture is do not fear. And I am a security junkie, I have to tell you. I love feeling secure. I love having a nest. I love having space for my dogs, because my dogs are my family these days a lot of times. And so, but what I've realized is that God isn't just here in the Flathead, he's everywhere. His people aren't just here, they're everywhere. And no matter where I go, he's gonna walk with me. And if he calls me to leave this valley and leave this state and go somewhere far, far away, I'm thankful that I'm willing to do that. And what I'm learning is to walk with him daily, to not plan too far ahead, to just wait. And patience has never been a really big virtue of mine. I have been smart enough not to pray for it, but yet God still continues to teach me about it. And so I just want to share that God is good, and I can say this with a pure heart, and I have written it on every bulletin probably this entire year. God is good all the time. Whether we're walking through the best times in our life, or whether we're saying goodbye to someone we love, or whatever it is that we are doing, God is good all the time. He never leaves us. He tells us to be strong and courageous. He tells us that he is the rock we run to. He's the strong tower that we can run to. And I just am so thankful that I have had the privilege of walking with him now for over 40 years. And so, thank you.
Well, yeah, I think you do.
I guess everybody knows that I've been through quite a bit this year, and I'm glad to be up here standing in front of you, and my mind is working pretty good, and so I have been having little problems with memory. They tell me it has a problem of that disease called OLD. So that's been, I'm struggling, but I guess you all know what I've been through, brain surgery and different situations. I didn't pass my driver's test, so I won't be able to drive, but I'm in a very good spot. And my girls, you know, they've been real hard on me and strict, but Pastor can relate that they love me dearly. I just thank you for, thank God that I have those two wonderful daughters that are concerned for me. So we've had some struggles, but I know they love me, and I know God loves me more than they love me. So I just want to know that he's been with me all the time, and I've had lots of prayers for me. And thank you for, what year is this now? 2018, and I hope God continues to bless me. Thank you.
This year, I've had a lot of trouble with God in some situations, and I've come to know, I've met a lot of people with different backgrounds have come to God with drugs and just being the mountain men and a lot of backgrounds, and he has blessed me in many ways. I said, I have, part of my disability is I have, when I get something stuck in my mind, I just can't get it out, and he's shown me that I don't need to get all this junk stuck in my mind. And I mean, through this church and the town, I've actually felt that God is alive, I mean, and it's just been an amazing year.
Well, I wanted to share something that I don't know, you guys might have seen it. There was a video that's been going around. I think I might have seen it as a TED Talk, but it was a fellow, he was a journalist, and he had started this habit of being thankful, and shortly after they started the talk, he said he was an atheist. So I was wondering what was going to come, and one day when he was being thankful at home, his younger son said to him, so why don't you thank, you know, for where your coffee comes from? That's how it all started off. Did you see this one? Anyway, he starts off, he starts traveling around. Of course, he's journaling around. He wrote a book about it. And he writes, goes down to the coffee plantation and thanks the guys who makes the coffee. And then he says, well, they couldn't do this with the guys. They had somebody pave the road, so he thanks the guys that paved the road. And the people draw the lines on the road, and just on and on. Any kind of connection, you can understand that nowadays, after several hundred years worth of technology development, there's a lot of people in the queue there. And he wrote a book, he gave a talk, he didn't thank God at all. And I'm thinking to myself, you missed the most important one in the whole series here. Not only did God make him so he could enjoy the coffee that he's thanking everybody else for, but every single person along the line was also created. And so it makes me wonder, when I think about any accomplishment you have, God created you, God made you, gave your mind, God gave your mind the ability to learn things, God gave you the opportunities. Sometimes it's hard for me to realize exactly at what point God came in, because he might have come in multiple times, to help you on any given thing. There's hardly anything you can take credit for. I'm not even sure you can take... The most you could possibly do is you took advantage of some of the things that God gave to you. But God gave you things all the time. And so on the one hand, I wanted to point that out in case you're probably going to see it, because it was on in the news shows too. But there's lots of things we can praise God. So it was a good concept. The concept of being thankful was a good one. To commit... The missed the target so thoroughly was a bad thing, but I didn't ever see anybody along the way, because he's doing it in front of other news anchors and stuff, and then saying, why don't you thank God for that? Nobody suggested that, I'm thinking maybe this is something about our society, but I would suggest that there's lots to thank God for, and I don't know how many was on your email list, but I sent my poem to everybody that was on your email list because I hijacked your poem. I did reply all, and I inserted my poem in his email because I don't think I have all those email addresses. But anyway, there's lots to thank God for, and being thankful is a good thing to develop. But I'm just saying, have your priorities right. It reminds me of the thing that people striving all their life to succeed, and then at the end of their life, they realize that their ladder was up against the wrong building. They're succeeding at the wrong thing. So let's get our priorities right, because you can be very busy succeeding in the wrong thing.
Okay. So we're talking to the guy right here, right? Okay. First of all, I've come to realize a few things. Number one, I'm going to die. Number two, I own nothing. I've been given the stewardship of some very wonderful and precious gifts. Number three, and probably most important, is I've had what I call my come to Jesus moment. We all travel 90 miles an hour, and I think sometimes my world travels probably about 150. And I forget about things because I'm bouncing from one to the next to the next to the next, and I got to take care of this and this and this. I've forgotten all about Jesus. I've forgotten all about God. But has he forgotten about me? No. No, he's just saying, okay, kid, you do your thing. We're all going to have a story to tell. And I bet you if everybody came up here, everybody would have a story to tell about what their, and I'll use my term, their come to Jesus meeting was. And that's where you basically shut off the rest of the world, open yourself up and say, man, I can't handle all of this myself. There is no way. When the pastor was up here and he said earlier that Jesus was going through his life, making miracles happen, preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God, and this type of thing, those were real things. We don't have a Jesus that walks through the door. We don't have the miracles that we really see, or do we? Because each one of us is a miracle. Each one of us has been given, remember I said we own nothing? We don't own anything. All the money I have, who I am, I don't own that because I'm going to die. I'm going to be gone. But I've been given and blessed with some abilities. Now, do I keep all of those abilities to myself? And do I just kind of hoard them? And I'm definitely not going to give any to Dale. No, he can't have any of this. And Kent, no, nothing. You don't like that. Or do I open it up? To open myself up to not only God, but also showing as Jesus did, as Jesus performed the miracles, as Jesus did what he did when he traveled this earth. Am I there of which to show people what I can do for others? Give of myself to someone else. Yeah, personally, I'm scared quite a bit about dying. I don't think there's a person in here that probably doesn't think that. Sometimes some even in their deathbed may have some relief, possibly. Man, it's a scary thing to know that maybe, God willing, a crick doesn't rise. Maybe I got 20 years left in my life, and that's it. The last 20 years went really fast. So now, opening my heart more to Jesus, to God, the ways of everything like this, and give of myself the things that God gave me is, I think, what's really important. Show the rest of the world, and I'm talking to you there now, show the rest of the world now what you're made of. Don't have to be big things. They can be small things. They can be huge things. They can be medium things. But give of yourself.
Years ago, those of you that don't know, Doug and I, we both left, were raised Catholic, and well, when I was 18, which was a long time ago, I left the church because I really knew nothing, not like what I know now, but about in 2015, God started dragging me back to him. And if you don't believe that, he does that. He definitely does that to you. When he wants you, he gives you the opportunity to want him also. And I'm so grateful that Believe it or not, it was Easter Sunday and it was all tables, but I was sitting right up front. Chris remembers. And I've been back to the church ever since, so I love you guys. But, okay, Pastor wanted us to talk about recent things, and within the last month, a little bit over a month, three times now in that short period, the strength of God has gotten me through very, very tough times. And I don't want to bore you with the details. Two of them were my health issues, believe it or not. Once in a while, Denise has some health stuff. I just called on the strength of Jesus, and I knew he could get me through, and he got me through, totally, 100% through. And then just on Friday night, our beloved 15-year-old dog at 2 in the morning had a stroke, and she's 70 pounds. Doug's not supposed to lift much over 10 pounds. I'm not strong anymore, and God got us through that. We got her to the emergency ER, and it couldn't have worked out better. She had a great last day of her life. She was our joy, and we couldn't have done it without the strength of God, and it's just a wonderful feeling to know that you can call on God even when you think that nothing can work to help you, and that he's there for you in all situations, and that if you truly, truly believe in your heart, he will get you out of situations that you really don't think you know you can't get yourself out of. So I am so grateful to God that he called Doug and I back to him, and that he sent us to this church, because that's the last thing I wanted to do, was go back to a church. So thank you, Lord. And thank all of you.
Well, this is mainly for the guy here. But many of you know that God's word is pretty important to me. He says it so much better than I do. This is Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. And I look forward to that day when he either says, come on up here and I die a physical death, or he says, come on up here, it's the rapture, because he's coming soon. And his word never changes, he never changes.
So standing in front of people is really weird, just saying. But as you guys have talked, it's kind of funny. When we were doing the 40 days for prayer, my back and my hip are out. And there were times when I couldn't really walk. But we walked for an hour every Sunday morning, except for the last couple ones, because it was raining. We're wimps. But there was a time, I was able to walk during those hours, and there was a time when I went home and the pain was so bad I was in tears. And I was walking along the wall because I couldn't walk on my own. And I prayed to God, and I cried out. And when I got up in the morning, I was tender, but I wasn't in pain. And by the next day, I was walking normal. And he just healed me. And you talk about being afraid of dying. But there was a time when I was in the hospital and my blood pressure was so low that they were going to be putting me into the ICU unit because they were concerned I would die on them. And I had a friend, and I came conscious, and she was trying to take my blood. And she's like, "Susan, I just need you to wake up. I need you to squeeze my hand. I can't get your blood." And I heard her, but I, A, couldn't wake up, and B, I was in the presence of the Lord, and I didn't care. I was ready to go home. You don't have to fear death because you don't die alone. That's the thing about the Lord that people don't tell you, is that he's there when you don't see him. And but when you need him, he is so there and so present that you can't not know he's there. And so you don't have to fear death because you won't die alone. Even if you were on a mountain and nobody could find you, you wouldn't be alone because he would be with you. And that's the thing that hurts my heart for people who don't know the Lord. Because I think that this world can be so ugly and cruel. And I don't see how anybody could survive the hurts without having the healer with them. That's it.
This is kind of a little bit on a different train of thought, but as long as it's something we're thankful for, this isn't really something recent that happened to me, but it just kind of opened my eyes recently here to it. I had a lot of family pressure to go to college, and I was kind of always like, okay, whatever, I'll just go. And then the last few years, I've always just kind of been like, what was the point of that? I just got a lot of college debt. I'd probably have less stomach aches now if I didn't learn all this business stuff that just stresses me out now. And then this last week, I spent the week hanging out with our college group leader that I met out there in college. And it just kind of got me thinking about how if I wouldn't have gone to college, I wouldn't know those good Christian guys that I got to hang out with all week. I probably wouldn't know Jake and his older brother that I'm super good friends with now, and these awesome Christian people that now basically wherever I go, I know these different people that we can hang out with and have a good time fellowshipping with other Christians.
This really isn't about me, but it's about some of the comments that I could make a comment about each one of you. Tyler, I have friends all over this nation that I made when I was in college at MSU that I still keep track of. To Joni, thank you for reading the verse that talks about God lavishing his grace on us. It was many years ago when I was living in Helena that Pastor Lyle said to me, "Isn't lavish a wonderful word?" And there are two things God said he lavishes on us, his grace and his love. And to this gentleman, whose name I can't remember, I'm really sorry, Mark, I just want you to know that some of the people that have had the greatest impact in my life had no clue. And I made it a point of going back several years ago and telling them thank you for how God had used them. And to a person, they had no clue. So for those of you who are out there doing, whether it's huge things or itty-bitty things, it might be one phrase in one conversation that changes the direction of your life. So keep on being God's witness, because you're a witness either way. You, Guy, you're a witness no matter what.
One vicarious testimony that I'm commissioned to carry to you here today as we close. Had spent some time with Jim Jackman this week, and two things that I asked him specifically. I said, what is it that you would like me to share with the church today? And as you recall, Jim had the perforated bowel last Saturday. He's been under his 12th chemotherapy treatment, had that Friday, perforated bowel on Saturday, emergency surgery early Sunday morning. But two things that he told me. He said, first of all, the oncologist came in and said, 90% of my tumors are dead. 90%. And he said, the doctor said, we'll work on the other 10% when I get better from this. And so he wanted me to express his gratefulness to the church. Remember last week we talked about you being part of God's miracle in his life? 90%. Rejoice. The hand of God. He said the second thing that the doctor told me was that the way that Jim got to the hospital was Marge called me about 6 o'clock Saturday night and said, Pastor, maybe you should call Jim. He's not feeling very good, and I think you need to talk to him. And so I said, okay, I can do that. And then I got distracted and doing some other things. And about 8 o'clock, I said to Linda, oh, I forgot to call Jim. So I called Jim up, and I said, hey, Jim, thought I'd call you, see how you're feeling. Oh, Pastor, I'm miserable. I says, I'm hurting, I'm cramping, I'm throwing up. And these were all things that were not part of his other chemotherapy treatments. So these were different than his previous experiences. And so they began to raise some red flags. And in my mind, I said, you know, Jim, maybe we should go to the hospital. Oh, no, I'll be fine. I'll be just fine. And I said, well, Jim, you know, these are red flags, man. This isn't how your body was reacting to the chemotherapy. I don't think it's part of the chemotherapy stuff. I think something else. I'll be fine. I said, okay, I tell you what. We'll get off the phone, and we'll talk in a half hour. And I said, my car will be warmed up, and we'll be ready to go. So we got off the phone, and a little bit while later, Jim calls and says, maybe you're right. Maybe we should go to the hospital. And I said, okay. And so I drove over and picked him up, went through the ordeals you go through in the emergency room and all that kind of stuff. And the doctor comes back in about 1 o'clock in the morning and says, got some bad news. You got a perforated bowel, and you need surgery. And you need surgery right now. And so they assembled an emergency team, brought him in, and by about 3 o'clock that morning, he was in surgery. And the doctor told him this week, he said, if you had gone to bed Saturday night, you wouldn't have woke up Sunday morning. And so he wanted to say again, thank you to the church, to Marge, for being aware, being concerned, and the fingerprints of God being left on his life. And I told you last week that before the surgery, told the doctor, I like this life better than the last one. Yeah, he's pretty convinced of it this week that even though he has a long road of recovery and a lot of tough stuff that he's going to face, that God is with him. And he is very grateful. He's in room 165 right now in Kalispell Hospital. I asked him yesterday if he was up to having visitors. He said, if somebody would like to come and visit, I'd like to visit. And so if you have time sometime in the next few days and you're in Kalispell, swing on in and see Jim. Here's a guy who was very distant from God before you guys entered into his life. And now he's loving Jesus for all he's worth. And so, nice job. Nice job, and thank you, Father.
Pastor, we're against that job.
What's that?
What you did. You don't remember, but he was there all the time when he took Jim to the hospital and made sure that he went there. I mean, I'm sure you sat all night, half the morning, half the day probably with him, waiting to see the results of Jim. So, I think if we want to be thankful for some things, I think we should be thankful for our pastor, because we just don't give him enough acknowledgement and thanks for what he does for us. We just take you for granted.
Well, thanks, Dale. That's kind.
I know it's on his son, so it's going to
Careful what you say. You want to go home tonight. Well, this is about our Jesus and his ability to use flawed instruments in his perfect work. And many of you have had that experience where, as a flawed instrument, God has used you to do his perfect work in the life of others. And the song that Crystal had chose, the third one that we sang today, I Surrender All, that puts us in the context of being able to be used by God to do his perfect work through our human flaws, to bring honor and glory to his name. And so it's not just here, but it's here, and I see it. And many times the opportunities to serve come because you recognize that God has developed a need within your frame of reference of life, and you've invited me in to come and be part of that, and I appreciate those opportunities. So we'll all remember that we're just a bunch of imperfect people being used by a perfect God to do his perfect will upon this earth, and we give him the glory for it. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the testimonies and the celebration. And we give you the honor and glory for whatever good things come out of any effort that we make. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you indwell us and that you're present with us in all we do. And to this guy sitting here in the front row, we just want to say that Jesus is the most awesome Savior and Lord that anybody could ever choose, for he is more than a religious moment that takes place on a Sunday morning, but he is a Savior and Lord that walks with us through life. He gives us wisdom. He gives us guidance. He gives us strength. He gives us brothers and sisters in Christ who come alongside and support, and he gives us people that come alongside and pray for us and hold our arms up when we get weary and tired and we feel like the battle's too strong for us. And you give us people, your children, who you have gifted spiritually to speak to our hearts in different ways. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for that kind of faithfulness, that even in our flawed estate, that you're able to take that which is flawed and use it for your honor and glory. And we're privileged to be used by you. And so I ask, Lord, that you would continue to knit our hearts together as a church of one heart and one mind and one spirit, that you will use us to be a testimony for Christ wherever we might be throughout this week. As we approach the Christmas season, might we be mindful of the fact that we're celebrating more than a holiday, but we're honoring a Savior who came as incarnate God to be a living sacrifice for us. Thank you for this body of Christ and the testimonies here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.